what about this shadow boxing? While shadow boxing may sound negative, it's actually a very effective way to draw that out, that side of us that's not only always on board with actually seeking pleasure.
Pleasure seeking, yeah, what really sets you free? Pleasure seeking, what's your meaning of ecstasy? Pleasure seeking, can't help it, I need to feel. This pleasure seeking is for real. Shall we do it all night? Yeah, just look for your life.
In my practice, people come to me with almost an exclusive focus on pain, sadness, or depression, which also reflects a tendency in our society to focus on negatives. For example, doctors study illness, not health. Business leaders analyze failure, not success. Economists study cost, not value. Mental health organizations publish books on understanding depression, stress, bereavement, but not on understanding joy and love. The media is full of journalists that focus on negative, sensational events that move the public's interest, but we have to remember that what we focus on most often becomes familiar. And what is familiar seems real to us. In our society, there's a focus on pain before joy, tears before laughter, and fear before love. So we can't even see our potential for happiness and pleasure. Even more disconcerting is the widespread emphasis on psychology that suggests happiness is in some way a dysfunctional behavior in light of all the suffering in the world. Please. There have been several recent studies that have tried to suggest that happiness is only an avoidance of real issues, a selfish coping strategy, or a superficial form of escape. This goddess here is telling you out there that those studies ignore a fundamental principle of gratification. Our happiness and pleasure are inspirations and a gift to others. In an effort to draw out that shadow self, the one most likely to focus on hardship rather than joy, we need to develop a relationship with our mirror and seek out things we actually can see and those that remain hidden from our sight. And this is where all the nuances of our pleasure-seeking goddess can be discovered. Most people have a certain idea about their desires, their values, their beliefs, and opinions. But what if much of what you have come to believe about yourself and what drives you doesn't really reflect who you truly are? We all say and we all do things at times that don't seem to align with our nature. We are human, after all, and have blind spots, of course. And when you realize that your behavior is off and you may have lost control, you get the impression there's a different person lurking behind your idea of who you are. And when this person comes into focus for you, congratulations, you've just met your shadow self. What about perception and pleasure? The way we receive messages or the way we perceive messages influences how we respond to these messages. That's why it's important for us to sharpen our perceptual skills. One way to refine these skills is to focus on an imaginary object that's about 1 yard away, 1 meter away from us. Fix it in your mind. Own it by smiling to yourself as an indication that you like what you see. Then move the object 3 or 4 yards away from you, 3 or 4 meters away from you. See it. Focus your vision on it. Bring it to the foreground and blur all things around it. Again, own it by smiling. This exercise also helps us refine and fine-tune our meditation skills. It raises our energetic, vibrational state and is the first step in being able to hear, to read, or to sense messages from the universe and from our spirit guides. These are the steps that you can take on that road to making a qualitative jump in life and putting yourself in the position of halting those windmills of your mind, those obsessive thoughts we often become stuck on. Our thoughts, of course, reflect who we are and how we project to the outside world. And perception, attitude, they're all about the way we perceive things and the way we can change our vision of things, using pleasure-seeking as our compass. Enhanced perception is another superpower that goddesses always use and never stop using. A goddess's advanced analytical and observational skills, as well as a keen eye for detail, move her forward on her pleasure-seeking path. She's quick to spot the minutest detail which others overlook. Your inner goddess can assess people and situations while effectively turning them all to your own advantage. This superpower makes you well aware of your surroundings and perceptive of anyone or anything that you observe and analyze. This allows you to see through anyone's behavior and gain clear understanding of details that others hardly notice. The greatest advantage this superpower gives you, fellow goddesses, is the ability to predict or anticipate the outcome of someone's behavior and actions, no matter how subtle or how complex they are. And what a delight it is, just think, being one step ahead of someone or something that interests you allows you to either take action if it suits you or to sidestep the limelight should this better suit you. Let's talk about visibility and invisibility. Well, social interaction is all about how we perceive others and our relations with others. Our senses and perceptions are culturally bound. We have to remember this. And they also evolve over time. What I mean by culturally bound is that the way we perceive things and our senses may be bound to our cultural traditions. Visibility and invisibility lie at the intersection of perception and power, both thriving on the symbolic and symbols. For example, red lipstick, a dramatic neckline, or army boots. These all speak volumes in social interaction. Just think of the powerful and ambivalent notion of light in Western culture. Its metaphysical connotation, making it the obsession of physics, psychics, religion, and spirituality. The symbolic dimension of the visible, what we see, is also central in media technologies and how communicative technologies work as extensions of our senses. For example, visibility becomes a metaphor of knowledge. But it's not simply an image we see or we view. It is a real social process. The notion of visibility and invisibility appears in fields from gender to minority studies, from communication studies to theories of power. The relational quality of visibility works something like this. When the activity of watching occurs among people, seeing and being seen are intimately connected. Researchers all over the world have written volumes about the power of eye-to-eye contact, and most sociologists agree that it represents the most fundamental type of human interaction. Ask anyone who dances Argentine tango. Its sensual nature derives from this form of communication before and while on the dance floor. In an ideal setting, the rule is that if I can see you, you can see me. But things aren't that simple. The relation of visibility is often asymmetric, and the concept of intervisibility, invisibility, or reciprocity of vision is always limited. For example, when I'm on the peak of a mountain and you're in the valley, I can easily track your movements, but you can't easily track mine. And the charming and amusing side to an asymmetry is that it transforms visibility into a sort of strategy. And the notion of strategic visibility has been explored by many sociologists, and notably by the sociologist Irving Goffman. Because since glances are interactive, Goffman pointed out that relations of visibility overlap and intercept with perceptions of danger. He showed that normalcy, in fact, represents a state of invisibility in the environment where no alarms or danger exists. In the lack of a danger or an alarm message, the environment results as being transparent to an observer. But in the difference between being at ease and being alarmed, you can appreciate the characteristic of what is normal as being invisible. What is normal is not noticed. Another truly revealing aspect of interpersonal and interactive watching and gazing and glancing is how we mark both time again and space, that time and space will keep popping up, time and space when we speak about someone we saw. For example, the expression, "I saw them at a glance," it paints a time-space picture for us that speaks volumes about how a person perceives someone and how more or less important that person is to us. This is a two-way strategic game. We get information about others and in turn also about ourselves. Any goddess uses this superpower most, especially when seeking out pleasure to work for them when aiming on a specific target. Now comes our superpowers of enhanced vision and invisibility. When a person or someone, something you are interested in, becomes more visible or less visible, more in sight or farther out of reach, it's the first sign that a development is occurring. Time to scoop up this opportunity. Shaping and managing what we see is what all people do tirelessly, day in and day out. What you see or don't see has the power to transform your life. And the same holds true with what we show or don't show. In come our superpowers to save the day. Your ability to see with amazing clarity and detail, noticing nuances like colors along a spectrum, even in the dark, is your superpower of enhanced vision. Trish Walker, the adopted sister of Jessica Jones in Marvel Comics, uses this superpower to help her sister's investigations and for her own survival. If you bring this superpower to bear on your goddess's pleasure-seeking path, this means first putting it in the context of your strategic visibility. When you look at someone who then looks back at you, this is the beginning of a conversation without words. Of course, there are so many ways of watching, inspecting, detecting, noting, noticing, recognizing, scrutinizing, peeping, and spying that all come under the umbrella notion of vision. Enhanced vision begins when we analytically view people for specific purposes. For example, if it's not for questions of survival, as in Trish Walker's case, it may be for the purpose of gathering information that will help you prep for that party invitation. If, on the other hand, your looking game has its sights on a specific, special someone, it can involve all sorts of nuances that conceal myriad messages and intentions. Things to bear in mind are the duration, intensity, the rhythm, the depth, the attitude, and of utmost importance, reciprocity, meaning if your look is exchanged with the same intentionality as the other person. This superpower allows you to distinctly understand how to grace your efforts. All visibility involves thought, awareness, understanding, appreciation, recognition, and often invites talk, but also manipulation and control. Now, imagine what would happen if these looking and watching relations would extend beyond two people and occur within a group of people? What if who looks at me is not a single pair of eyes, but tens of thousands of hundreds of stares? If you can enter a room or meeting where there are more than two people, try to fix your gaze on others, shifting from one to the others, enjoying this kaleidoscope of crossing stares. What type of visual experience is at play in these crowded contexts? Who looks at whom? After the meeting or gathering, you may want to jot down any emotions you felt or eye contact communication that occurs between you and others. Does your experience differ in relation to when you play the looking game only with another person? Is the nature of looking or watching altered? And if so, how is it altered? Another vision-related superpower is invisibility. Ava Starr, who goes under the moniker of Ghost, thrives on her invisibility. Again, for survival, but more importantly, for the advantage it gives her when interacting with others. She's able to pass in and out of the visible spectrum. And first, she used this superpower for the purpose of spying. She would then vanish and reappear to launch surprise attacks. But we as goddesses are the ones to assess whether we need to strike or to take a step back, concealing our intentions for the moment, for example. We're able to do this thanks to our superpowers of enhanced vision and invisibility. Becoming aware of the captivating power of our eyes and our gaze enhances the allure and, yes, magic of our goddess presence. This brings us to magic, ritual magic. Rituals involve repeated actions in time, something we do day in and day out, like brushing our teeth or preparing our meals and eating. There are certain tools or devices you need and a procedure you follow, how we prepare ourselves, for example, before we leave our homes, or what we do in order to move forward our day. All this makes for ritualistic processes in a certain sense. And the key here is to bring your awareness to each facet of the process and imbibe it with meaning and intention so as to captivate the essence of intended meaning behind everything you do while you're doing it. Even the simple act of applying makeup, often done very rapidly, can and does take on magnitude if it can be done with intention, and it can entirely modify your day's events. A little bit of mirror magic now, ladies. Set your intentions. Assemble a playlist. Light a candle and think of this daily ritual as a self-directed spa experience. We are directing our inner witch into creating spells through the ritual of applying makeup. Now, as you apply makeup to your face, you say this: "May I face this day with beauty and sovereignty." As you apply makeup to your eyebrows, you say, "May I frame this day with fascination and grace." As you make up your eyes, you say, "May I see joy and bliss." As you apply eyeliner, you say, "I have no adversaries, but only allies." And as you apply makeup to your lips, you say very clearly, "May these lips utter the language of ecstasy, delight, and charm." And what about our cheeks? As we apply makeup to our cheeks, we say this: "By these cheeks, I shall smile wholeheartedly, knowing that I am loved and protected." And remember to keep a diary what happens during that day. It will prove to you to be an eye-opening experience once you take these notes on a daily basis in a sort of diary fashion. Moving on from makeup, let's talk about that eyeliner that not all women wear. You know, you never have to ask a woman with winged eyeliner why she's late. You've heard that expression, maybe. Goddess on the wall, it's time for the fairest of them all to have some fun, don't you think? We're going to visualize our inner goddess and magically create her before our very eyes. Waking up our inner witch, we now turn to the ritual of applying makeup. Whether we incorporate this practice in our daily lives or not, we are about to enjoy ourselves in preparing for our role as goddess at that party. A must, this is absolutely the first test and the first step in claiming our superpowers. There's a false idea that circulates the halls of power that goes something like this: if you care about makeup, or if you're interested in beauty and fashion somewhere, somehow you are not intelligent, or you're simply frivolous. But as Alexandria Ortiz-Cortez, the U.S. representative for New York's 14th Congressional District, says in an interview for Vogue, "Some of the most substantive decisions we make are made every morning in front of a mirror. Makeup characterizes you before you even speak, even at a costume party. But makeup can be daunting. Everyone is supposed to know how to put it on, or even how to wear it and how to use it for particular effects. For our purposes, the party, it would be wise to take these steps one at a time. For those of us who decide to use foundation or even tinted cream on our face, remember, it's a forever changing love story in relation to what we ultimately choose to use. It very much depends on what you want to look like. I'm not talking here about skin camouflage, but of skin care. Remember, the skin is the largest organ of our body. You take care of it, it takes care of you. If I had to choose a favorite piece of makeup, that would be blush, whether it's cream, gel, or powder. Why? Because it gives off emotions. It speaks of potential hormonal reactions in events around you. Because it shows the world you're alive and willing to put your emotions on the line for all to see. We are flesh and blood after all, ladies, aren't we? The difference between being 6 feet under and being alive and kicking is our emotional life, let's face it. And there are those, many actually, who swear by lipstick. Marketing experts tout the lipstick effect as being a bewitchingly divine transformation from the simple you can do you. You can be anybody with lipstick, dressing down or dressing up. Lipstick, virtually the least expensive makeup item you may own, is the first thing women turn to for an instant pick-me-up. Marilyn Monroe once said, "A smile is the best makeup any girl can wear." While I agree with her, not all days are the same, and as Coco Chanel aptly put it, if you're sad, add more lipstick and attack. Ocasio-Cortez's most talked about beauty move is her trademark red lips, and she feels that a bold look is the best way to look put together, especially when always running around. And she started sporting this look early while on her campaign trail and turned to a red lip for a quick fix boost of confidence. It always works. But just as important as our lips, the eyes truly have it. The way you fashion your eyebrows can outline the contours of your life. What about those eyeliner wings? I admit, I have tried and gave up on trying to design teasing wings on my eyes. But when a makeup artist took over, my superpowers were instantly recharged. I kid you not. I dare anyone to ask me why I'm late when I flash my winged eyeliner their way. I mentioned way at the beginning about shape-shifting. I can use the word transformation, as I often do. I often talk about transforming and transformation, but the real reason I use it is because it's one of the most important superpowers that allows you to completely alter your perception of yourself and alter how others perceive you. The power to transform and reshape your body is your new superpower. Superpower. After all, we are going to that party, remember? Now, even though we know that what you wear does not really and is not the true essence of your goddess, it is in fact what influences how others perceive you. There's a lot of research that can come to our rescue here, so put your feet up as you listen. Most of the psychological research about women's wardrobe focuses on how women dress for men. The makeup, choice of shoes and colors we select, or to impress, or the opposite sex, or our own sex. But when we analyze how women dress for other women, we see very different results. Very odd. Based on the research about how women compete with other women, we know that attractive women who wear revealing clothes are more likely to be targets of aggression than other women, by other women. And findings confirm that women who consider themselves physically attractive choose more modest outfits when meeting up with a group of women, and most women choose less revealing outfits to meet up with an all-feminine group in both professional or social settings than they choose for meetings that also include men. Some same-sex aggression is more likely to come from women we don't know. Researchers have also looked at what women wear to meet up with a prospective female friend. And here, too, more physically attractive women indicated that they would dress with more discretion. Interesting. But we need an added boost before we choose what to wear to that party. In comes Cara Palamas, Agent 33, who has absolutely cornered the market on the power, superpower, of shapeshifting. She is bound to offer insight into how to transform ourselves and mesmerize others into believing we alone are goddess. Agent 33 could imitate the facial structures of any person she chose, a bit like using the enhanced vision of superpower. You too can imitate others at will. The truly amusing side to this is that it allows you to both copy their looks as well as their behavior. All this in turn helps you to prepare for your next superpower of persuasion. But be patient. Let's enjoy these one at a time and then pull them all together in a pleasure equation. Reshaping our bodies is hard work. No one will argue with that. Agent 33, for example, was able to reshape her body in her own way. But she was also an expert martial artist, marksman, an ex-spy, and a pilot. All things that indeed kept her in shape. Now, while I'm not suggesting you to take up skydiving to keep you alert or in shape, there are pleasurable habits that, rather than instilling fear, can seriously inject fun into your life, like dancing, for example, and anything, to help us sinuously move to the harmony that moves others. As to what we wear, then, we understand that it's another form of dancing. It's a social dance. And in the game of dressing up, we've understood that women do not always dress to impress. What we find instead is a subtle social dance that involves humility, hesitation, and heightened awareness of social contexts, visibility, and invisibility. And while it makes sense to downplay our physical attributes in certain situations, or at least not flaunt them, we should never try to dim our inner light. That's the essence of real beauty, and that's what you want to envision as you dress for that party.